So the big news this week, of course, if you're watching the news at all, what's really dominating the whole news cycle is Hurricane Ian down in Florida, just completely running all the way up the coast, you know, North Carolina. It's just so crazy. This is how the left will try to politicize this event on two fronts. One, they're trying to stop Ron DeSantis and make the Republicans look bad. But on the other side, this was crazy. I wish I could have been able to pull this clip, but I couldn't. It was just, I heard it somewhere else. I'm trying to remember who it was. One of these anchors on MSNBC was talking about this Washington Post article saying that Florida is getting hit with hurricanes because of climate change. And the MSNBC host actually said something along the lines of Florida gets hit with more hurricanes than the rest of America. Well, no, duh. Right? It's a huge peninsula that extends all the way down and basically into the Caribbean, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of course it's going to get hit with more hurricanes. Amazingly, Missouri has never been hit with a hurricane.
I guess we're doing great on climate change.
We're doing great on climate change. It's just Florida, right? Because it's got, you know, I don't know, a Republican governor. I mean, so do we, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But how stupid, how dumb. But this is the thing. The left will think that you're so dumb and stupid that they can actually say something along the lines of Florida gets hit with hurricanes more than any other state because of climate change. More than any other state. There's a handful of states in that whole region of the country.
Yeah.
What about Oregon? What about Nebraska? Of course these states aren't getting hit with hurricanes. And climate change has nothing to do with it. Geography has everything to do with it. Sometimes you just hear people say stuff like that and you just, what are you thinking? But they're saying it though because they know that some people will believe it. Some people will attach themselves. I guarantee today, somewhere on Facebook, there's some liberal making an argument that Florida gets hit with more hurricanes than every other state in the country because of climate change. Someone's going to do it. And some people are going to repeat that. They're going to polyparrot it. They're not even going to think about the fact that Florida, due to its geography, basically the entire state, it's not just surrounded by water, right? It actually extends deep, deep. Have you ever driven through Florida?
Yeah, I've been to Florida many times.
It takes a long time to drive from the panhandle down to like Fort Myers or Miami. I've done it. It takes a long time. Like you are traveling a considerable distance south. The difference in temperature in the winter is remarkable. Because you could be in some place like Pensacola, and it could literally be 45 degrees. You could go to Miami, it could be nice, warm, you know, and it's a beach day, and everybody's out at the beach. That's how big the state is, and that's how far south it goes into the ocean, right?
Yep.
Gulf of Mexico, everything else, there's so much at play here. But there are people who will believe that it all has to do with climate change, and they'll believe it because it just is it's like a bullet point. It's a talking point that just reinforces something else they've already chose to believe. And objectivity and facts and truth just goes right out the window. This is the world that we live in, though. We'll talk a little bit more about that later on in the show. Maybe in the, here's just to let you know what we're going to be getting into. In the second segment of today's show here at News Talk STL, we're going to talk a little bit about the culture. The purple peanut M&M is coming back. Have you heard about this?
I briefly read about it on your website.
Okay. So there's two, which, by the way, thanks for bringing that up.
Uh-huh.
Go to paulkirtman.com, scroll all the way down to radio number 71. I think we're at, radio number 71. That is today's show. I have links to the different articles that we'll be talking about. I have also the different videos and sound bites that are there that we'll be talking about or playing. So you can go to paulkirtman.com, scroll all the way to the bottom, radio number 71. And I have a link there to the purple peanut M&M. We'll talk about that in the second segment because this plays into the culture. We're talking a little bit about just how people are willingly deceived when it comes to things like climate change and what they're willing to believe in order to kind of push their political points, right? The same thing happens in culture. And we'll play a couple clips when we come back about the purple peanut M&M. We'll play a clip from the U.S. Congress. Interesting, very short exchange between a U.S. congressman and a doctor talking about things that we're talking about in culture right now. And you'll just understand, like a few minutes ago I said, if you think your politicians have your best interest, I can say the same thing about doctors now. If you really think that the medical industry, the healthcare industry has your best interest at heart, you are deeply mistaken. We had 2 years of a pandemic, right?
Yep.
And we found out that there's a lot of liars in the healthcare industry. When I was in the legislature, I'm trying to remember. I was a state senator, and I can't remember which one it was, but they had somebody coming and talking to them in a committee about all their financial struggles, and they need more government money. And the state senator asked them, he said, are you a one-crane hospital or a two-crane hospital? And the doctor's like, what are you talking about? He goes, well, I've never driven past a hospital that didn't have a crane because it was in the middle of a new building project, and it was building and building and building and creating laboratories or, you know, new waiting rooms or, you know, putting new hospital rooms up there. And then the doctor's like, oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, our hospital is currently undergoing. And so the state senator is trying to make the point, like, you guys are getting so much money from the federal government, so many subsidies already. Like, where's it going to end? And then you compound that with the people like Anthony Fauci, you know, Mr. I am the science. This guy that brags about the Fauci effect, you know, more people wanting to go into medicine because of me, right? Highest paid government employee in America. Anthony Fauci, the highest paid government employee in America. He's also the guy that shut down the economy for 2 years, essentially.
Yeah.
Right? So you think politicians have your best interest at heart. You are gravely mistaken. You think the medical industry has your best interest at heart. Gravely mistaken. But we're going to play that clip. But then in the third segment today, we're not going to do the B or not the B. The Babylon Bee just kind of needs to reload a little bit. I want to make sure they get some more articles up there. I had dinner last week in Washington, D.C. With Seth Dillon, the CEO of the Babylon Bee.
Oh,
and he was there. He gave a presentation at this conference that I was at. And so, as you know, he spoke at the Defense of Liberty 9, which was last April. Seth Dillon from the Babylon Bee and Donald Trump Jr. And Seth, I got to link up with him again in Washington, D.C., and he gave a speech at this conference that I was at. I'll tell you what, really funny guy. We used to do Libs of TikTok on this show. We would have a Libs of TikTok segment, and I got away from that because every Libs of TikTok segment was about these groomer teachers.
Okay.
Because that was just dominating what the liberals are doing, right? Well, Seth Dillon also owns Libs of TikTok now. So the Babylon Bee has Libs of TikTok. Anyway, I'm kind of getting off point here a little bit, but in the second segment, we're going to talk a little bit about the culture. Third segment, though, we're going to talk a little bit more about the economy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Listen, there is a recession in play right now. And I know a lot of people are saying, well, we don't know if there's a recession. We don't know because 2 quarters of negative GDP typically, usually, historically is what informs us that we're in a recession. But President Biden has tried to redefine what a recession is. And so there are other things to look for in terms of what a recession is. That's true. But more importantly for people right now, there are some indicators that you want to be looking for to know when the recession is about ready to be over. And this is important because if you have money in the market or if you own and operate a business and you kind of want to put together a forward-looking plan on how you're going to manage your finances for your business, how you're going to market, or maybe you're just a mom or a dad and you're trying to figure out how to manage your household, understanding what those indicators are to find out whether or not we're about ready to hit bottom, you know, and then maybe start to rebound and go back up. People should know what this is. All too often, we rely on these talking heads in the media to tell us when we're in a recession, and then we wait for some news anchor or some political pundit to inform us about what we should start doing differently, right? And that's probably not the best way to go. It's probably the best way to go to actually go straight to the source and find some real information. I'll be bringing that up here in the third segment in lieu of Libs of TikTok. So just before we go to the break and go to our second segment, like I said, we're coming back. We're going to talk a little bit about this peanut M&M issue. I got to tell you what, 6 states right now suing to block the Biden administration and their attempt to cancel debt. 6 states. Missouri is we're not number one on those states, but we're one of those states. Missouri, Nebraska, Arkansas, South Carolina, and Kansas. and an attorney representing Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds. I guess she's suing on her own. They filed suit on behalf of their states in federal court in Missouri. So Senator, or I get ahead of myself, he's not senator yet, soon to be Senator-elect Eric Schmidt, currently Missouri Attorney General Eric Schmidt, is helping lead that effort so the rest of us don't have to pay for the student loans that have just been passed out like candy to all these students and helped throw the cost of tuition through the roof, thus requiring more people to go out and get student loans. Anyway, thank you to Attorney General Eric Schmidt for helping lead that fight. I think that the courts are going to be stopping that, or at least be forcing the Biden administration to really begin to scale it back.
Hey, Purple, 10 minutes to your big debut.
I'm the new M&M's candy. Do I have what it takes? I want to be the best, or even pretty good would be great. I'm a little unsure, I have to admit.
Just be yourself.
And you can do it!
That man in the plant seems to think I can. Thank you, Mr. Plant Man.
No problem, girl.
I think it's time for a big sweeping pan. I'm just gonna be me. I'm just gonna be me. Nothing else I can be but Dave.
And there you have it. That is the debut of the new purple M&M. What'd you think about that?
That almost should have been the bump music coming in.
It should have been, but Weezer's pretty good too. This is Paul Kirtman here at the Paul Kirtman Show, News Talk STL, and I just played you the clip of the purple M&M making its, I gotta say, it's not necessarily the debut. We have had a purple M&M back in 1945.
Okay.
They got rid of it in 1949 and replaced it with a tan peanut M&M.
Mm-hmm.
So they have decided to bring back the purple M&M. Now, here's what's interesting about this. I'm not sure I'm going to take the full take that maybe some other conservatives are taking on this. So the purple M&M, here's what Mars Candy Bar said. Mars is thrilled to debut the newest member of the M&M's cast of characters to the world. There is so much about our new spokes candy that people can relate to and appreciate, including her willingness to embrace her true self. Our new character reminds us to celebrate what makes us unique. M&M's reveals new purple candy character, first in decade, designed to represent acceptance, inclusivity, and as you just heard in that clip, this new candy character, known for her earnest self-expression, self-awareness, authenticity, and confidence, are the reasons behind her charm. Now, there are people saying that this new purple peanut is designed to represent the transgender community. Mm-hmm. I've heard people say that. I've heard people talk about it. Or the LGBTQ+. I'm going to say that that might be maybe a kind of a subtle, throw them a bone, maybe. Mm-hmm. But definitely, this new purple peanut, Mars is definitely politicizing the introduction of this new peanut M&M. And they're bringing it to the forefront to represent specifically diversity and inclusivity. And I think this kind of plays into maybe a little bit with the whole CRT, critical race theory, equity, justice, equity, inclusion, and justice. Do I got those right? I'm trying to remember all those.
I get
so lost on all the woke terminology sometimes.
Yes. A lot of acronyms.
But what do you think? Do you think that this is Mars Candy Bar trying to throw their hat in the ring of social justice?
It could be. Is that what Mars is saying? What are they saying?
Well, the thing is, that's what's kind of tricky about this, because what they're saying is, where is it? Designed to represent acceptance and inclusivity.
I mean, a lot of the woke terms kind of focus on inclusivity and acceptance. So, I don't know, you could take it that way, but I don't see how a purple M&M is any more inclusive or accepting than the ones they've had.
Yeah. I mean, the purple color is kind of the LGBTQ. Well,
yeah.
I mean, they got all these colors now. Have you seen the flag?
Yes.
Man, that is an evolving flag. I mean, so many stripes, so many colors. I mean, pretty soon, they're going to just have to make the flag bigger because there's so much they're trying to put in it.
Yeah, inclusive.
Yeah, trying to be inclusive. Just put the word inclusive on it. Like, you have it all covered. But I think I don't think that what some folks are saying about this, that it's, I think it kind of is, but I think it's a little bit more subtle and maybe a little bit more middle of the road.
Yeah, I was going to say maybe more broad.
Like, more broad. That's like, that's a good word for it.
Like, sure, like this could be for the LGBTQ community, but it's also for anybody that maybe didn't feel included. I don't know.
It's definitely a female M&M.
Okay.
So they say it's a her, and mm-hmm. they keep referring to her and she.
Okay.
And even in the song, the backup singers say she's just going to be she. You know, and so like it's kind of just interesting the way they're kind of putting all this together. I don't think now we'll know for sure if mm-hmm. over the next year or so or a couple years, we'll begin to see if Mars Candy Bar begins to take more of a role in what we see other corporations deciding to do when they get their foot in the water mm-hmm. of the whole woke culture. And some of them just kind of dabble around a little bit. Some of them go all the way. One of the Babylon Bee articles. We played the Bee or Not the Bee like back in May, and a Babylon Bee article was Mattel introduces new pregnant Ken doll.
Mm.
You know?
Okay.
But you have to wonder. That was a good question for it to play the Bee or Not the Bee, because is that a real headline or not?
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't then, but 2 weeks later, it basically was. Because it was, I can't remember, Mattel or one of these doll companies like Barbie, it was either mm-hmm. Barbie or Barbie's spinoff, was introducing a transgender doll,
mm-hmm.
and so you could dress this transgender doll. It was a girl that you could dress as a guy, like
yeah, with a more male physique or something.
Yeah, something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And so you see companies going this direction, this woke corporatism, and of course they're doing it. I think Mars is probably doing it more carefully than other companies. I mean, you can be like, hey, pregnant Ken doll. You know, you can just throw it right out there. But by saying, hey, we'll use the color purple,
mm-hmm.
but this is definitely a female M&M, a feminine woman character for this peanut M&M. So I think that Mars is probably, if this is what they're doing, this is probably the safest way anybody has done it.
Yeah,
there might not be the backlash that you're going to get if you try to sell my kids a pregnant Ken doll, for mm-hmm. example, you know?
Yeah, you know, they have that advantage of, you know, their image or their mascots, if you will, you know, they're not people. So
yeah.
It's a little easier to kind of blur lines if you want to.
Yeah, because I mean, a peanut M&M, right? They're all shaped the same.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that distinguishes these characters is eyelashes and the lips.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'll try to make them feminine or masculine based on those two things for the most part. And the voice. Although I would argue some M&M characters have ambiguous voices.
Yeah.
You know, you're just not exactly sure. Anyway, there's a lot of this woke corporatism out there, and you see these companies that immediately jump right in. I think of Coca-Cola, right? Remember what they did when they put out what was it they had one of their HR teams, like Be Less White? Do you remember this?
No.
Oh, backfired huge on Coca-Cola. You know,
uh-huh.
And then I like Coke. When I was a kid, I used to kind of collect Coke stuff. You know, mm-hmm. It was just kind of neat for me.
Yep.
But man, like, you have a company starting to push the woke ideology down your throat, tell you as a white person to be less white. First of all, define that for me. And in order to define what it means to be white, I mean, how is that not racist? If I were to say the same thing about being black, I would immediately be racist. All right. So when these corporations start to become more woke. And the reason they do this is because they're trying to maintain relevance in our culture.
Yeah.
They think that one way or another, it's going to allow them to pick up more market share because we're just going to start spending our money, ideologically speaking, and not on whether or not your product is actually good or not. Now, I will choose more often than not. I don't really get into boycotts a whole lot. Like, I just, if somebody has a good product, and if I want it or I need it, I will buy it. However, there are times when companies like go too far on their political ideology, and I just decide, you know what? I don't need it that bad. I'm just not going to buy it. And so I'm not, but what I won't do, what I will never, I haven't got to this point yet where I will buy a product that I either don't need or don't like, But I do like the ideology behind it. So I'm just going to spend my money. My money's too valuable for me to support people who already think the way that I do. But what I, and I want to be really, really careful here. I don't want to make people angry with me. But it's also valuable enough to me that I, it's easier for me to tighten my belt and decide what I don't need. That's probably a better way to put it. Mm-hmm. Easier to tighten my belt and decide what I don't need based off of somebody's ideology that I don't support than it is for me to spend more money on things that I don't need to help, you know, promote somebody's ideology.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
I think that that's reasonable too. Founding Fathers, Boston Tea Party, that's kind of what they were doing. You know, we're not going to drink your tea. And I think we need more people actually probably saying, hey, we're just not going to drink your tea. Like I said, I don't get into boycotts a whole lot. But from time to time, there are some things where I just decide I'm just not going to buy your product. I don't think that Mars has gone so far with this like some people might. I'm not going to stop buying. I love peanut M&Ms. Mm-hmm. I'll just tell you. Love them. Like
yeah,
whenever.
I'm a big M&M guy.
Yeah, me too. And the peanut ones, you know, mm-hmm. in particular. You know, when I was campaigning, if I needed to stop and like grab some sugar or something just to kind of like pick me up, if I'm on a road trip or something, peanut M&Ms are my go-to, and I'm not gonna stop buying them because they use the word inclusivity to describe the purple peanut. However, if they start making these peanut packages, like billboards for the transgender community, you know, and if they start coming with little pithy sayings, you know. Like some companies do when they're trying to influence the way you think about cultural issues, well, then that will change my mind because I'm not giving those to my daughter. And I'm not giving them to my little boys. You know, it's just not going to happen. But this is I think we're going to see this woke corporatism begin to scale back, and they might take a much more gentle approach like M&M or like Mars is doing right now. If that is, in fact, what they're doing, and I tend to believe that that's what they're doing, only because they're using a couple words very closely associated with the woke agenda,
mm-hmm.
you know, in the press release here. So, folks, I'm not saying don't buy peanut M&Ms. I'm going to keep buying them. However, if that turns into something much more aggressive, then I'll cut it off. Is there anything that you don't buy because of the way people think about?
Off the top of my head, I can't think of anything.
Yeah. I know some people are out there. If you're listening right now and you think, well, you need to stop buying it, you know, there are people that think that way.
Mm-hmm.
But man, you got to be really careful about telling people not to spend their money on things because of the political ideology behind it. And I say that only because in the world we live in today, you can't get away from it.
No.
You just can't. I don't drink alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
And growing up in church, I have met Christians throughout my life who say, you shouldn't go shop at that store because they sell alcohol. But then they'll go to Walmart.
Right.
And I'm not trying to pick on them. I'm just saying you can't get away. You can't completely isolate yourself in a market economy. And whether you think we are or we're not, I'm telling you, we are still in a market economy in the U.S. by and large. And there's no way you can get away from, you know, some of these companies and some of these stores, even that push wokeness.
Yeah.
Because at some point in time or another, you're going to wind up using their products or buying products from other companies they support. People hate Apple. They hate Apple. They hate Google. They hate big tech. Do you remember what was it? It wasn't Getter. What was the other social media? It was like a Twitter rival. I'm trying to remember what it was. They got banned. They got shut down. But you know what I'm talking about. And everyone's like going on Facebook. Just so you know, I'm not going to be on Facebook, but you can find me over here.
Uh-huh.
But then everybody winds up coming back to Facebook, or else they don't get off of it altogether. Why? Because right now, love it or hate it, Facebook is the largest social media platform and the most widely used mm-hmm. by people across the country, especially and increasingly among people in older demographics, like people over age 50 are quickly becoming some of, like younger people are like, oh, I'm not even on Facebook. I'm on this, or this, and stuff I've never even heard of, you know? But I mean, because of the economy we live in, you just can't get away from some of these things that you would like to get away from. But there are opportunities. There are some things. Here's one that you can do right now if you want to not support the woke agenda. Unsubscribe to Netflix. You don't need Netflix. You don't need, I mean, Netflix, what was it, Cuties? Remember that documentary, docuseries they put out, Cuties? Children drag queens. That's what the whole thing was about, right? That kind of perversion. Cancel your Netflix. You don't like it? Cancel Netflix, pick up a book. That's simple. You can do that.
Yeah.
But I mean, you got to eat, right? And unless you're a farmer, you're probably going to go to a grocery store and buy food. And so you just might wind up going to a grocery store that also supports one of these agendas. There's some things you can't get away from. There are some things that you can get away from. Cancel your streaming service. Well, a lot of people canceled CNN Plus, so that doesn't exist anymore. So sometimes it works, folks, right?
Yeah.
Obviously it does. Hey, when we come back, speaking of canceling things, speaking of how you're going to spend your money on stuff, there's a lot of Americans that are hurting right now because of what's happening in the economy. Jerome Powell, chairman of the Fed, says that it might just get a lot worse. He says it's going to be painful to come out of it. But we're in it right now, and it could get worse. But there will be some telltale signs about when things begin to turn around just a little bit. There are some indicators out there. Zach, I said we were going to play in the last segment. I didn't do this. I said we were going to play a little bit of a conversation between a congressman and a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now we're going to get into the talk on the economy and some telltale signs of when a recession's about to turn around. But first, I got to play this clip.
Okay.
And this is a clip that you can also find at paulkerbin.com. Scroll all the way to the bottom, radio number 71. Okay. It's a very short clip. Okay. But like I said, you think people have your best interest at heart. You think politicians do. They don't. They'll tell you they do. Even the guy who knocks on your door is probably willing to lie to your face half the time. Most of them. Listen to this. This is a conversation between Representative Clyde on the biology of giving birth, and he's talking with Dr. Bhavik Kumar in a congressional testimony in Washington, D.C.
Dr. Kumar, can biological men become pregnant and give birth?
Men can have pregnancies, especially trans men.
Okay, there's the doctor. Got a question for you, Zach.
Okay.
Can men give birth?
No.
Okay. This doctor's answer.
Short answer.
Short answer. See, that's I would trust you with healthcare decisions than I would this guy. Dr. Kumar testifies. Yes, men can get pregnant, especially transgender men. Okay. Now here's where I've got just a quick question about this before we get on to talk about the economy and recessions. Yes, men can get pregnant, especially transgender men. Okay. Let's cut transgender men out of the equation.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause he's saying especially transgender men. Well, what about what other men is he talking about?
I don't know.
Is this whole spectrum about ready to like really get a lot bigger? Yes.
Yeah, I don't know.
Men can get better, or men can get pregnant, especially transgender men. I want to know, what are the other men he's talking about?
Mm-hmm.
That just tells you right there, this doctor does not know what he's talking about, because he's talking about transgender men, which are not men. These
right.
are biological women.
Mm-hmm.
Who have treatments done to their body to appear to be men, because in their heads they think, they believe, or they want to believe that they're men, but they haven't been able to modify their DNA and chromosomes, so they will never actually be biological men. They're
right.
still always going to be biological women,
mm-hmm.
right? Like if a bomb went off and all we had was tissue that we could pull from it, we would be able to identify if it was a man or a woman, right? And it doesn't matter what the person thought they were. Biologically,
mm-hmm.
there are rules here, biological rules, laws of science, that says it would still be a woman. But I was just a little confused when you said especially transgender men. Like, what other men are we talking about?
Yeah.
So, and this is happening. And so irony of ironies, right? Sad irony of ironies. This conversation is happening between politicians and people in the healthcare industry. Two people that I've already highlighted on the show are trying to convince you they have your best interest at heart, and obviously they don't. And the reason is, it boils all down to this. It's because they have turned their back on the truth. And the truth matters. If you have cancer, you want to go seek out a cancer specialist who understands what the truth is about treating your cancer, right? Like, that's the kind of healthcare professional that you want, somebody who's grounded in the reality of truth, because then they are fully aware of exactly what your situation is and what needs to be done to improve your situation. The truth matters. So if a doctor, I'm afraid that we're entering into an area where people are going to have to start asking, like if you get referred to a doctor, if your health insurance provider sends you to a particular doctor, whatever, we're going to have to start interviewing them and say, before we even get started, I just need to ask you a question. Can men get pregnant? And if they say yes, especially transgender men, okay, you need to fire your doctor. Yeah. Because this guy is far more concerned about the politics of the day than treating your health for that day, for that moment while you're there. This is what it's coming down to. All right. Moving on just a little bit to the economy.
Uh-huh.
Now, this is another area where the truth absolutely matters. The market was going up like 5 weeks in a row between July and August. Jerome Powell gives a speech in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. It's been on a downward spiral ever since. Like, as of earlier this week, like, we've seen the market dip down to negative 24%. Maybe I'm trying to remember what it's done this week. But as I've watched it, it's gotten lower and lower and lower. We're testing those we're testing those year-to-date lows, or those lows that we just haven't seen really since 2020. When the pandemic hit. So it's important for people to understand some things about the economy. And you can listen to talking heads on the radio. You can listen to talking heads on television. But a lot of these talking heads will give you their ideas. They'll give you their opinions. And they're very smart. Many of them are. Financial professionals are usually rooted deeper in the reality of a situation than we're seeing in the healthcare industry, like we saw from this doctor, right? Because this can be highly politicized. However, when you're talking about the financial condition of your household or the country, you can't get around the math in the numbers. And so there are a couple things. I believe that we are in a recession right now, but there are some things that we can look for to tell us when we are nearing the bottom. One is this: watch the ISM Manufacturing Index. It's published by the Institute for Supply Management. The index reading in July came in at 52.8, the lowest that we've seen since June 2020 during the pandemic. But a drop below 50 signals economic contraction. So if it dips below 45, the recession indicators begin to flash bright red. And so that's when you know for sure this is one of those things other than just the GDP numbers. This is one of those things that signals to us, yes, we are absolutely rooted in a recession. But if it begins to kind of move back up from that, from 45, for example, then that might signal that we are finding the bottom of the recession. Well, just in July, the number was at 52.8, saying that we are getting there. I haven't looked at the most recent number that's come out, but that's right about where it was just over the last couple of months. There's other things. Falling corporate earnings estimates kind of give us a little bit of signal about this. When Wall Street analysts start slashing corporate profit estimates, and we've seen some of that reflect in some of these earnings reports from Wall Street, it's a telltale sign of trouble. So far, cuts in earnings growth estimates for stocks in the S&P 500 have been modest. They're currently about 3.6 to 4.5 percent points less than they were on July 1st for the final two quarters of this year. So we are seeing some slashes begin to happen, right? This is another thing that tells us, hey, we are getting into a recession. But likewise, when these things start to reverse, that might tell us like, okay, we're nearing the bottom right now. So whether you're looking at leading or lagging economic indicators, let me explain this real quick. A leading economic indicator is information you see that says this is what might happen. A lagging economic indicator is an economic indicator like it's already happened, and now we can verify that what we saw happen actually did happen because now this information is beginning to show up. So we can use this type of information to tell us when we're going into a recession and when we're coming out. So the talking heads that you hear on the radio, even me, right, because I'm on the radio right now talking about this stuff, or when you hear somebody on television talking about, oh, we're going to near the bottom, or here's what we think is going to happen over the next couple months, oftentimes they look to this deeper information, things like this, these other types of metrics. And these types of metrics are very, very important. So when you go talk to your financial professional, talk to them a little bit about this, if they know about these types of things, if they follow these types of metrics, because this will help inform them and inform you, kind of help give you maybe a greater understanding, maybe a deeper understanding, a better footing on exactly what's going on in the economy and the types of things that it is that we're looking forward to let us know whether or not we need to change our investment strategy or whether or not we need to change our business plan or adjust or just adjust a little bit how it is we're going to begin to market or what we can expect from our customer base. Are they going to begin tightening their belt? Are they going to begin to loosen that belt up and get a little bit more, I don't want to use the word liberal, but get a little bit more comfortable spending some of their money? So right now, what I'm hearing people say when I'm listening to the Talking Heads, and I listen to a lot of them because this is my industry, right? This is my actual day job. Okay, I work in finance. I manage investment portfolios for people. But I'm hearing people talk about how it's going to get harder and harder and harder over the next few months. And it could. It very easily could. Don't watch the stock market as your gauge for the strength of the economy. Watch these other metrics. These are will better inform you as to the reality of the situation. The stock market is irrational. What that means is we could get really bad news and the market could go up. The S&P 500 could go up 2% in a day off of bad news. Or we could get news that we were expecting and suddenly the market tanks. And you wonder why. Like, why did the market just fall 3%? We were just given news that we were all already expecting, but then the press release comes out midday, and although the market might have been up 1%, now it just falls 3%. It's because markets are irrational. Like, not everybody out there trading stocks or investing money, they're not all operating with all the information that's out there. They're operating in many cases based off of a little bit of information, and in many cases, they're operating off of emotion, which is for life. So here's a life lesson. Operating off of emotion, not a good thing. It encourages you to have knee-jerk reactions, and oftentimes what was maybe a small problem could turn into a huge disaster when people react emotionally. But we see a lot of that even in the markets. So, saying all that to say this, I want to be a source of encouragement to you and just let you know that if you're concerned about the economy because you're retired or you're about to retire, just go back and work with your financial professional. Make sure that you have a strategy that allows you to sleep at night and not bite your nails down to little nubs, because that's the worst thing. A lot of people talk about this, and like a big part of understanding the markets and the economy and investing, you should have peace about your investment strategy. If you don't, you either need to find out more about your investment strategy and understand why you should have peace, or you probably need to change your investment strategy altogether. If you want to jump on my email list and find out a little bit more about things that I'm putting out week to week or day to day in the markets, you can go to prcurtman.com, P-R-C-U-R-T-M-A-N.com. That is my investment advisory firm, and I'll send you those market emails. Anyway, we'll have more to talk about on the market because we are at inflation is at 40-year highs. And if interest rates, if we have to do with interest rates what we did 40 years ago, we're going to be seeing 40-year interest rate highs. Hopefully it doesn't come to that. But you always have to consider that could be part of the realm of possibilities. The Federal Reserve and our political leaders try to rein in this whole situation because moms and dads, job providers are all depending on the leadership of people in office right now as they do what they can do to try to help mitigate financial disaster and maybe improve some things. But you can take matters into your own hands by making sure you're just working with a professional where your personal finances are concerned also.